So first of all, I'd like to say that even though I'm presenting today, this research was co-authored. One of my co-authors is here, Dr. Tim Mackey from the Global Health Policy Institute, and also Sloan Laird, a Global Health Policy student, was a co-author as well. So I'm presenting today on integrating traditional indigenous medicine and Western biomedicine. This is a case study of health policy implementation impact on Miskatu health services in Nicaragua. I have no financial relationships to this. I'm going to give you a little bit of the background and then an overview. So indigenous peoples throughout the world have advocated for the right to retain their cultural beliefs and traditional medicine practices. In 2007, the more than 370 million people representing over 5,000 distinct indigenous groups received global recognition with the adoption of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Although the declaration was designed to promote a set of international standards and obligations to be adopted by member states and potentially translated into national policy making, there is a general lack of research examining its effectiveness and influence on national and regional health policy, and how such policies impact the health services being accessed and accepted locally. Thus, in this research, we sought to determine, through secondary data analysis, if the principles of the declaration have been successfully translated and implemented into a national health policy, and if so, how these policies impact the health services being accessed, delivered, and used by Indigenous peoples. Within the context of Indigenous health and human rights, Nicaragua serves as a unique case study for examining implementation of the declaration due to its national constitution that includes provisions affirming an equal right to health for all Nicaraguans and specific support for Indigenous peoples. The Miskatu Indigenous peoples were chosen as a focal point because they are affected by both national and regional health policies while also retaining semi-autonomy from the central government. In today's presentation, we will review two articles of the UN Declaration that specifically affirms the fundamental rights of Indigenous peoples to their traditional medicines and health practices, and to all social and health services. We will then review Nicaragua's national constitution and other health laws with a focus on how traditional knowledge and Indigenous health and healing practices are included as policy. We'll talk about gaps in translation and implementation, and then examine our findings on the integration effort. We will then provide a summary of our case study. So there is no one definition of Indigenous peoples, but there are characteristics that are used to distinguish them. Some of these are that they're descended from pre-colonial, pre-invasion inhabitants. And once again, there's great diversity in this, that they maintain distinct languages, they have distinct social, economics, or political systems, that they maintain close ties to land. And as I mentioned earlier, there's more than 370 million worldwide, with 5,000 distinct indigenous peoples in 90 countries. They make up 5% of the world's population. Okay, the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. So in 2007, in a landmark moment following more than two decades of negotiation, 143 member states adopted this declaration, reflecting widespread recognition by the international community to the individual and collective rights of Indigenous peoples. Although Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the United States initially rejected the declaration over legal concerns, all four countries have since switched their positions to supporting this declaration as a non-legally binding document. In 2014, the UN held a world conference to further pursue the objectives of the 2000 declaration. So this declaration was built upon the work done at the International Labor Organization Convention, the Pan American Health Organization. Declaration resolutions, and this, all of those efforts led up to this declaration. So why is there a need for a declaration? Well, many of the traditional practices, especially with health concern, were forsaken under pressure from missionary groups, colonialism, and this has been going on for a long time, and there's been this worldwide movement to bring back the cultural rights. And so this is stated clearly in the declaration that there is a need. In this research, we're specifically looking at Article 24, Section 1. This states that indigenous peoples have the right to their traditional medicines and to maintain their health practices, including the conservation of their vital medicinal plants, animals, and minerals. Indigenous individuals also have the right to access, without any discrimination, to all social and health services. So as you can see, the need for integration is evident in these articles stating that biomedicine already exists. And to bring back the traditional medicines will require integration. In Article 24, Section 2, it states that indigenous individuals have an equal right to the enjoyment of the highest attainable standard of physical and mental health, and that the state shall take the necessary steps with a view to achieving progressively the full realization of this right. So once again, just as an overview, there's people advocating for their rights. There's an international declaration that has been created. And what we're looking at is how this translates to national laws, regional health policies, and then more importantly, the health services accessible to local people. So the Miskito peoples of Nicaragua, we picked this group, this is the focus of our study, because they are affected by both national and regional health policies, while also retaining semi-autonomy from the central government. The Miskito peoples live mostly in the North Atlantic Autonomous Region, which is in the northeastern area of Nicaragua, and possess a unique history in gaining semi-autonomy from the central government after indigenous insurgency efforts against the Sandinista government led to the Autonomy Statute of 1987. Won't go too much into the history because I'm running out of time, but in any case, we went ahead and we looked at the national laws, and I'll just say, without going into all of them, all of these laws and statutes have components that stress the need for integration of traditional medicine with the biomedicine, one way or another. But even with all of these laws that support the declaration, there are gaps in translation and implementation. Some of these gaps include more the social determinants of health, like the difficulty accessing basic health services due to lack of public infrastructure, roads, and affordable public transportation. And then also the lack of health care workers that have the cultural knowledge or experience to deliver health care services appropriately. And then, like with many laws and regulations, there's no mechanism to implement the laws enacted to protect Miskito land, property, and resources used for traditional medicine. Some of the barriers, different belief systems. The Miskito have a culture that has a particular view of healthcare and how health services delivery should be in their traditional sense. There's differences in education and training on both ends by biomedicine workers and traditional healers. And there's also a lack of funding for traditional medicine. Because it's not a standardized care, it's more based on individual need. It's sometimes hard for government agencies to project what kind of funding will be needed for traditional medicine. But there are effective solutions. So what we found in our study is that with proper intercultural training, there are good results. And with collaborative therapeutic encounters, traditional healers and biomedicine health workers begin to work more together for the benefit of the patient. And third-party party links, or there's organizations that their whole goal is to support integration with education, awareness, training. And also we found that Miskatu practitioners that come from that area, when they're trained in biomedicine, they have a greater chance of success in actually working with the healers and biomedicine together. Since the 2007 declaration, there's been other initiatives. The World Health Organization has come out with a traditional medicine strategy, and both of these documents support integration and provide strategic objectives for making that happen. So just a quick summary, we did find that Nicaraguan national and regional plans and do include core principles of the UN Declaration, yet we found that stronger mechanisms for implementation and prioritization needed to support integration efforts are needed. And then we also found that the most successful models were the models where the fostering a from the community and for the community approach to address the social determinants of health and inspire therapeutic cooperation most effectively. And once again, culturally appropriate training for health workers is essential for successful integration.
Maybe one quick question, and then we'll have more in a discussion later. Okay. I know you're pondering, or maybe you have a question, John?
What do you know about the extent to which they had the traditional healers and the Western healers working together? You mentioned that seemed to work when it happened, but is there much of that going on?
Well, you've lived there, John, so you probably know better than me. What we read in research from people in the field is that there are people really working on that, and there's these brigadistas, these brigades that are formed, that they bring in the biomedicine health workers and the traditional healers. Where in the research that we found, what we found to be most prevalent is when there was some type of spiritual aspect to the illness, the biomedicine practitioners were more than willing to turn that over to traditional healers. And so they're trying to move, you know, into more of a cooperative, therapeutic cooperation instead of just as a last resort method. So.
I think that the Benson study suggests that maybe there's like spiritual stuff in 43% of people's services.
So, anyway.
Thank you so much. We'll have more questions later.